Greetings, friends. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that almost 3,500 years ago, God revealed to the nation of Israel his 7 annual holy days? That's right, he did. Right around the time that they were about to leave Egypt, leave the captivity of Egypt, and go into their promised land, God began to reveal to them his 7 annual holy days. But did you know that God only revealed to them the physical aspect of the holy days? Yes, God never revealed to the physical nation of Israel the spiritual significance of those 7 annual festivals. But 1,500 years later, when Jesus Christ entered the world, he did begin to reveal to his spiritual nation of Israel, i.e. the church, the spiritual significance of those days. So let's look at this briefly. On Passover, 3,500 years ago, God asked Israel to slay a lamb to put the blood on the doorpost, and then the death angel would pass over any Israelite that had that blood on the doorpost. It would not slay the firstborn of the Israelites. So they were passed over. They did not have to die. Well, 1,500 years later, Christ died on Passover day. He became literally our Passover lamb. If we have the blood of Jesus Christ covering us, then the death angel passes over us. We don't have to die. So that is the spiritual significance of that, which was revealed primarily to the church 1,500 years after it was initially revealed to Israel. Then, during the days of unleavened bread, Israel came out of Egypt. Pharaoh is a type of Satan, the devil. Egypt was a type of the world and captivity to Satan and Satan's ways of this world. And God brought Israel out of Egypt. Well, 1,500 years later, Jesus Christ was actually resurrected during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He ascended to heaven to be accepted of the Father, came back down to earth, and began to lead his church out of Satan's spiritual kingdom of Egypt, because he broke the power of Satan the devil. He overcame Satan, and now Jesus Christ became qualified to be the ruler of the world. He's not yet taken over, but he qualified for that. So he was able to begin leading the church out of spiritual Egypt, out of bondage, and into liberty, into God's kingdom. And then, of course, during Pentecost, in 3,500 years ago, in Israel, the law was given on Mount Sinai. And that was symbolic of this old covenant being made with Israel, between Israel and God, for them to become God's chosen people, his nation. Well, of course, 1,500 years later, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was given to the church so that the law could be written on our hearts and minds instead of on two tables of stone. It's written on two tables of our hearts and mind. And now we enter into a new covenant with God and become a new nation, a spiritual nation of Israel. So here we have it, God batting 3 for 3 in terms of his 7 annual festivals. First Passover, then Days of Unleavened Bread, and then Pentecost. Well, the next one, the next holy day, the fourth festival, is the Feast of Trumpets. Do you think possibly that God is going to do something significant in his plan of salvation on this particular day? Well, like I said, he's 3 for 3. He's done significant things, forgiven us of sins, given us righteousness and liberty and freedom from Satan and bondage to sin and bondage to human nature. He's translated us into his precious kingdom, and he's given us his Holy Spirit so that we can live according to God's commandments. We can live according to God's principle by the power of God, not by our own might, but by the power of God. Those are 3 significant things that have happened in this process of salvation. Well, again, I'm going to ask you, do you think that God can do something significant on the Feast of Trumpets that has to do with his plan of salvation? Well, my answer is yes, and we're going to prove that today. So, trumpets in Israel in ancient times were blown for four reasons. And today we're going to continue talking about the trumpet being blown to gather God's elect together. We started on that in the previous program, and we're going to continue on that today. So during the Feast of Trumpets, when there's blowing of trumpets, that's one of the things that we're supposed to remember, is that trumpets are blown so that God's people are gathered together. So why are God's people gathered together? Well, one reason is for a resurrection. And when will this resurrection of God's people occur? Let's turn over to Revelation, the 8th chapter, and we'll start reading in verses 1 and 2. This is Revelation, the 8th chapter, and we'll read verses 1 through 2. Because this is going to give us a time frame as to when the resurrection of the saints will occur. And when he, Jesus Christ, had opened the 7th seal, there was silence in heaven, and there was only 7 seals. So this is the 7th seal, this is the final seal. And there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. And I saw the 7 angels which stood before God, and to them were given 7 trumpets. Notice that, 7 trumpets. Now let's read in Revelation chapter 8, verses 6 through 7. And the 7 angels which had the 7 trumpets, so each of these angels had one trumpet. There were 7 angels, therefore there's 7 trumpets. So the 7 angels which had the 7 trumpets prepared themselves to sound the trumpet. They were about to blow the trumpet to make a sound. And the first angel sounded. Now you can go through chapter 8 and you'll see about the first, the second, the third, the fourth, fifth, and sixth trumpets being blown. And I believe that continues into chapter 9. But I want to concentrate on the 7th trumpet being blown by the 7th angel. So let's turn over to Revelation, but this time it's going to be chapter 11, and we'll read verses 15 through 17. This is Revelation chapter 11 and verses 15 through 17. Here it says, and the 7th angel sounded his trumpet, and there were great voices in heaven. So this is the final trumpet that's being sounded. This is the last trumpet. There's 7, this is the 7th, so this is the last trumpet that's being sounded. And it says, the 7th angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which are, and which was, and which is to come, because you have taken to yourself great power, and you have begun to reign. So that is the time sequence there. That's the time frame. It's when Jesus Christ is ready to come back to this earth at his second coming, to establish the kingdom of God on the earth, when he begins to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's when the 7th angel sounds the last trumpet. And so now let's continue to see what happens on this day in terms of the gathering of God's elect. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll read verses 50 through 54. So keep in mind that the last trumpet is blown, the 7th trumpet. So what happens when this 7th trumpet is blown as it relates to the gathering of God's elect? Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. In other words, not everybody's going to die, but we shall all be changed. Both those who are dead and those who remain alive are going to be changed. It's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. When? At the last trump, when this 7th trumpet is blown, when Jesus Christ is ready to come back to this earth. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. This is this coming together, this group gathering, when the dead shall be raised incorruptible. That's the resurrection. And we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And now let's actually go back a few verses, still in 1 Corinthians 15. and read in verses 20 through 23, because we have a little bit more about this gathering together of God's people. So this is in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 through 23. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So if we accept Christ by faith, we're going to be made alive. We'll be resurrected or changed in the twinkling of an eye if we don't die. If we are alive when Jesus Christ returns, then we will be just changed in the twinkling of an eye. But it says, now notice the time period, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit. So Christ was the first person resurrected to eternal life. Afterward, they that are Christ will be resurrected when? At his coming. So we know again from these scriptures in Revelation and now in 1 Corinthians that Jesus Christ will return to the earth, trumpets will be blown, and when the last trumpet is blown, the dead in Christ will be resurrected, and those who are alive, who are faithful in Christ, shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And we're going to see this again, a third witness, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we'll read verses 13 through verses 17. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, so that you don't sorrow, even as those which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, we're not going to precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. This is that seventh trumpet, the last trump. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be. From that point forward, we're always going to be with the Lord. Now I have another question for you. Why do we meet the Lord in the air? And the answer is, it's for the marriage to the Lord. So the church will be married to Jesus the Christ, the Lord. And we can read about that in Revelation chapter 19 and verses 6 through 9. Here it says in Revelation chapter 19 and verses 6 through 9, I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready, and that's the church. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said to me, Write, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. So there you have it. We're called up to heaven to meet the Lord in the air, first to have a marriage to the Lord. The church, as the woman, will be married to the Lord, our Savior, our ruler, in a sense, our husband. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And now another question, where will the Lord be after his marriage to the church? Well, we'll answer that in the next program.